Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that presentation. And certainly, we're blessed to know our history, to know mainly that God is using us, that God is blessing us and using us as a part of what's going on here in America. And though ours has been one, a history of scarred people, yet we bear those scars with honor because we know that we've come this far by faith, leaning and depending on God. Amen? Amen. I want to invite your attention as we turn to God's Word, and we've been excited about all the things that God is doing. And so my question to you today, my question to you and my question that I've raised in my own life, am I going to be just an ordinary Christian, or will I go to the extreme? Will I be a believer that goes the distance when it comes to sharing and knowing that my faith is in the living God? So while you're turning in your Bible, I want to also remind you that we're in Matthew chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. And while you're turning in your Bible, we ask that you keep your mask on during the service. We are in a pandemic and we're trying to recover from it. And wearing a mask is a huge part of that. I have on a face shield so that I won't be breathing out on you, and I'm socially distanced from you. For those of you that are joining us online, we want to welcome you to our services as we recognize the goodness and the faithfulness of God. Matthew 5, verses 19 through 20. And of course, you recognize this as being the Sermon on the Mount, or Sermon from the Mount. Whoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Today we want to talk about real righteousness. Real righteousness. You may be seated. Again, thank you, Sister Nass, for coming today. And I also want to recognize today is Reverend Gibbons' birthday, or was it yesterday? It's today. All right. Amen. I'm not going to tell his age. Well, I'm going to tell. It's a blessing. We act like getting old is something wrong, but getting old is a good thing. And the option that you have is to leave here. Amen. Amen. He's 70 years young, and Lord has blessed him. Amen. What is real righteousness, and why do we need righteousness? I believe that the answer is obvious. Jesus is saying a couple of things in this verse 20. He's saying that we must have righteousness. We must have righteousness if we're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But then he's also saying that your righteousness must be at a level that exceeds, goes beyond the scribes and the Pharisees. So I want to ask you a question. What kind of righteousness do you have today? There are a lot of kinds out there. You can have righteousness based on what others think of you. Oh, he's a good man. Oh, yeah, he's right. He's all right. He's good. You can allow that kind of righteousness to be defined in the terms of mankind, or you can rely on another kind of righteousness that exceeds that of man. A lot of people that you have, they have self-righteousness. And they will always preference things, well, the way I see it. Or that's not the way I do it. But I'm talking about a righteousness not defined by you, not defined by me, not defined by some researcher, but I'm talking about the kind of righteousness that is defined by God. The righteousness of God. You see, verse 19, it prefaces by saying, whoever tells others to not do certain commandments, I'm putting in paraphrase, whoever it is that breaks one of the least of these commandments, he's going to be least in heaven. If you teach others to do that, every one of the commandments that God gives is good. The weakness is not in the commandment. The weakness is in us. I'm going somewhere with this, because there's not a soul on the face of this planet except one man, that's Jesus, that walked this planet that kept God's commandment. All of us have broken God's commandments. But now here is God in the flesh, here is Jesus saying to you and saying to me, you can have some righteousness here. He calls it your righteousness. Your righteousness. So what I want you to do today, I want you to think about your righteousness. And I want you to think about the foundation for your righteousness. Is it built on a sure foundation? Is it built on something that will last? But more importantly, is it eternal? That's the question. Jesus said, if you don't have this righteousness, you'll not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Wow. That makes you think, doesn't it? It makes you ask the question, how can I be righteous? Let me define righteous. To be righteous is to be just, to make no mistakes. Did you not know that God is righteous? The Bible talks about the living God as the righteous God. Here's a few verses that I want to give you to reference here. In Psalm 116, verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, which means God is good, but he's also just. There's no margin of error. There's no sometime about God. He's always righteous. Psalm 119, verse 137 says, righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. God is a righteous judge. Righteousness is a part of his character. He makes no mistakes. Amen. I know some of us would second guess the will of God, and we would think to ourselves, well, if I had it my way, well, you don't have it your way. This is not Burger King. Check out of the line. Goes on to tell us in Jeremiah 12 and 1, righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Now, bringing you to a certain point here, because I just said that God is righteous. In him is no error at all. 1 John says no shadow of turning in him. He's God. But in us, with us, we are unrighteous. So how are we going to obtain righteousness from a righteous God? And the answer is, righteousness is a gift. God knew your condition. This is exciting. God knew you messed up. God knew that you would fail. Notice I said would fail. You're not a failure. Never label yourself by your last mistake. Somebody ought to shout on that one. Don't label yourself. Just because you got drunk doesn't mean that you are drunk. Now, if you keep on getting drunk, there's a problem there that you need to deal with. Never label yourself by your last mistake. Always recognize that there's hope and there is help. Whatever you're suffering, whatever you're struggling with today, there is hope and there is help. Those of you that are online, there is hope and there is help. Let me show you how God did this righteous thing, is giving it out as a gift. There were people walking the face of the earth that they believed God. One of them was a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham was a man that believed God, and Abraham was a person just like you and I. Abraham and Sarah, they had their faults, they had their flaws, but they believed God. And you know what God did? He counted it to them as righteousness. Abraham was a righteous
man, not by his own definition, but he stood in the court of God, and God said to Abraham, you're righteous because you believed me. I'm going to get to you and I in just a minute. Where are we on this proclamation of righteousness? I'm going to get to us in just a second, but I want you to understand that righteousness is a gift. So here were the Pharisees in Jesus' day. Here were the Pharisees. Not only did they look at God's command, they said, well, wait a minute. We got to come up with some other laws here so that we can really tell people what to eat, what not to eat, what to wear, what not to wear, how to look, where to go, what to say. So they came up, get this, with 613 commands added to the commandments of God. 613 of them. 248 of them were considered to be positive, things that you should do. And then they had another, the balance of them, 365 negative things, things that you should not do. You had to wash your hands a certain way. You had to wear these clothes, and you had to talk pious and be very religious. That was the scribes and the Pharisees, and Jesus nailed them on many of their things that they were doing and said, you hypocrites. You hypocrites. You rob widows' houses just to be seen of men. You hypocrites. All of their laws were based on looking righteous instead of being righteous. Now, you can have it one way or the other. Either you can try to prove to God that you do good and you are good, or you can let God make you what you ought to be. There is this power called the Holy Spirit, and he is God, and he comes to transform your life. The Bible puts it this way: if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You are new in Christ Jesus, and you are righteous before God because God declares you that way. But you got to admit, first of all, God, I messed up. That's why I'm in court. That's why I'm standing before you. Now, Jesus said, now, except your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. The scribes were these folks. They would write down the law. They were very meticulous. They didn't want to make any mistake in jotting down the law. And so they were very meticulous. So they knew the law. Then you have the Pharisees. They went about. They were a prestigious group. You know, they had all the titles and accolades and all the money. And so they said, well, you know what? We may as well represent our group and look well and do good and all of these things. And don't you know that the same thing today is happening with people? They're trying to get to heaven on the way of righteousness, but they're not depending on God to get them there. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you are trying to do it yourself, you're going to run out of energy. But if you trust God, if you depend on God, the Bible says he's a good keeper. The Lord is your keeper. He is your shade upon your right hand. God himself will make you righteous. It's God. It's God who will do that. So we talk about real righteousness. We talk about this righteousness that exceeds everything else. Jesus turned to the Pharisees at one point in Matthew 23 and 13, and he says to them, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of God against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither do you allow them who are entering to go in. Why? Because they had all these laws. Jesus got into an argument one time where he told them that you do not suffer people to even honor their parents. The Bible says, honor your father and mother, but you say whatever you were going to give them, it's korban, it's dedicated to the temple. And so you fail to honor and you fail to recognize what God has said in his holy words. And Jesus called them hypocrites. One who wears the mask and pretends. But mask off today. Mask off. No. Leave, not that mask. Keep the corona one on. All right? But the religious one, let's take it off. Let's unveil ourselves as those who need God. As much as you need air to breathe, as much as you need blood coursing through your vein, as much as you need food for energy, you need the living God to make you righteous. You need him. You need him. So let's set this thing up before I close my message. Let's set it up. Let's look at what we need to do. Now, we said God's going to make us righteous. You can't go back and join Abraham's, hey, Abraham, I'm going to hang out with you, and then maybe God will declare me righteous. But you can do what Abraham did. You can believe God. You can believe him today. You don't have to have big faith. You just need to have active faith. Faith that you're going to trust him. Here's what Paul says in Romans 10 and verse 2 and 3. Talking about his own countrymen, talking about those of the Jews who depended on their own righteousness. He said, I bear them record that they have a zeal for God. Oh, I mean, I'm not arguing with their zeal for God. He said, but not according to knowledge. Why is that? It says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Okay, so what I'm informing you today of, and what I'm informing myself of when I studied this, is that there's God's righteousness. That's what you want. You don't want yours. Even though it might look good to you and other people, it will not stand up in the courts of God. It will not stand the test of the judgment of God. Do you not know that all of us will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, even as you're a believer? You will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. The sinners will stand at the great white throne of judgment. And God's going to look for one thing. Righteousness. Why, how do you know that, preacher? He said, if your righteousness doesn't have that certain level, you'll not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So I want the righteousness of God. Paul goes further in Romans 10, verses 2 and 3. He says, for they being ignorant of the righteousness of God and going about to establish their own righteousness. And watch what I'm saying here, right here. But have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Paul, how can you say that? He says in Romans 10 and verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law. I like that. Remember that 613 laws I told you? And even all of the laws that were written in the Old Testament, it says that Christ is the, oh God, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So you don't have to do 613 things. You don't have to do 10 things. You don't have to do 9 things. You only have to do one thing. Trust Christ. You say, well, wait a minute. Does that mean that if I trust Christ and I'll be righteous? Yeah, that's what it means. But now, wait a minute with your bad self. Hold on just a minute. That doesn't mean that you can do what you want. That doesn't mean you have a license to go out here and just do as you please. Because when you trust Christ, now you become a child of God, which means God instructs you. Hello, anybody in the house? God teaches you. God trains you. And he helps you to do that which is right. Let me break it down to you by 4 things that we do because it reveals real righteousness. Number one, real righteousness is the path that every believer takes. It's the pathway of the believer. How do you know that, preacher? Well, you say it every time you quote Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. But read on down in Psalm 23 and verse 3, it says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of what? Righteousness. Not how you look, but it's who you are. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm righteous. I'm walking in this path that God has given me, and he has restored my soul. Thank God when you got born again, you got breathed in by the Holy Spirit. You who were lifeless, God gave you life. And he said, start walking, start walking, start living this life. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. Real righteousness is you and me walking in this path that God has given us. And every Sunday we have an opportunity, or every time we pray, we have an opportunity to celebrate walking in this path. It's not just about coming to church and looking religious and looking righteous. It's about celebrating that God brought us this far, and he's going to lead us every step of the way. Amen, somebody. Look at somebody, tell them, I might not be what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to. Can somebody shout in here? Can somebody give him some praise in here? Thank God for his spirit that is leading us in righteousness. Talking about real righteousness here. Not the play kind, not the fake kind, not the church kind, but the real kind. Real righteousness, number two, gives us the deliverance we need in the time of trouble. Now, here I am now. I'm walking this path of righteousness, and God is showing me what I need to do and where I need to go, but all of a sudden I come across trouble. And that's where some of y'all get twisted. That's where some of you get messed up. You think because you're walking the right path, oh, not to have no trouble. No, that's called a Mother Goose story. That ain't called the Bible. Amen. Everybody that's been in the Bible has run across trouble somewhere, somehow. And if trouble doesn't come our way, usually the trouble starts in us. I wish I could talk to somebody up in here today. Real righteousness gives us the deliverance that we need in the time of trouble. Psalm 34 and verse 17 says, the righteous cry. Who? The righteous. The righteous cry, and watch this, and the Lord hears. So God is listening for your prayer, but I love this last part, and delivers them out of all their trouble. That's your second shout. Some of y'all missed it. Let me go on and help you see and show you what that means. You never would have made it if it had not been for the Lord. You wouldn't be where you are today. I know you're still going through, but that's the good news. You're still going through and you're not stuck in it. God brought you this far. God kept you this long. God is faithful. And guess what? He's still walking with me. Still talking with me, still letting me know that I am his own, real righteousness. So here it is, real righteousness has me on this path that he's leading me for his namesake, Psalm 23 and verse 3. But then real righteousness also is when God hears me in the time of my trouble and delivers me, Psalm 34 and verse 17. But it didn't stop there. Real righteousness makes us well known. Everybody say well known. Now, how many of y'all know somebody? Every one of us knows somebody, but do you know them real good? Amen. I thought I knew my wife. But Lord have mercy, she's still surprising me. Do I have some witnesses here? Reverend Givens thought he knew his wife, but she's come up with some surprises. But here is God. Here is God. When you are righteous before him, he knows your next heartbeat. God knows your thoughts are far off. Here's what it says in Psalm 1 and verse 6. Real righteousness makes us well known with God. It says, for the Lord, who? Not an angel? Not your neighbor? The Lord knows the way of who? The righteous. God knows your way. But then it says, contrast to that, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now that verse is saying a couple of things. God not only knows you, but he's going to keep you from perishing. What's happening to the wicked ain't going to happen to you. Now I didn't say you wouldn't have the problems. I didn't say you wouldn't have the close encounters with difficulty. I didn't say that, amen, the more you try, it looks like that your labor is in vain. But keep on trusting in God, because the same God that declares you righteous also knows what you're going through. You ain't got to call him up. You ain't got to get on your knees and say, Lord, you don't know what I'm going through. He said, wait a minute. Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I keep my eye on you. He put it this way, not a sparrow can fall from heaven without your Father knowing it. Now, if a sparrow, amen, is not created in the image of God, but you are, it's just a created being. But God said, I love you so much that I'm going to not only save you, but I'm going to get to know you. As a matter of fact, before you were born in this world, God already knew your beginning from your end. Amen? God knew everything about you. The psalmist put it this way. He said, he knows my uprising. He knows my sitting down. He knows when I come in and he knows when I go out. Amen. Whither shall I flee? And the answer is nowhere. You will never get to a place where God doesn't know you. And when you're getting ready to mess up, God said, wait a minute, I got to make them just right here. I got to keep them in this right path. They're getting ready to go over here. So let me just get them back on. You're not going to let me preach the way I want to preach, amen? Because you would have given up a long time ago. You would have said, I had it, amen? But again, before you said, I had it, God said, let me give something to you. Amen, somebody. Let me show you that I'm working in your life, that I'm mighty to save. Everybody say, mighty to save. I thank God that, amen, people talk about losing your salvation. Well, you didn't give it to yourself in the first place. How in the world can you lose it when God already knows who you are? And God doesn't give halfway stuff. He put a guarantee on your life, gave you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's assignment is to transform you, not just to get you into heaven, but to transform you on your trip. Amen, somebody. I look at my life and I see how far God has brought me, but then I also know how much God knows me. And I used to have an old deacon back in down in Halifax County that used to say, who wouldn't serve a God like that? Are y'all still here? Let me close by giving you number four, real righteousness. Real righteousness, if you're writing it down, makes us well known with God. Psalms 1 and verse 6. Real righteousness brings about deliverance in the time of trouble. Psalm 34 and verse 17. Real righteousness keeps us in the path, for he leads us for his namesake. Psalm 23 and verse 3. But lastly, and going to my seat, real righteousness means that God hears your prayer. Real righteousness, God hears your prayer. Psalm 34 and verse 15. You're going to love this one. You're going to love this one. Amen. Here's what it says in Psalm 34 and verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. You see that? Are you reading that in your Bible? God's got his eye on you. Look at somebody, tell him, God's got his eye on you. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. I know sometimes you got these cell phones, right? I remember I grew up in the Coleman family. We didn't even have the dial-up phone. Remember the one with the party line? You had to wait for other folks to get off before you get on. Amen. And now you got these cell phones. This communication, they're supposed to give you instant communication. And you call somebody and need them, and they won't answer their phone. They'll either tell you, if you reach this message, I'm either out of the office or I'm busy. They could be looking right at the phone, see your name come up, and not answer. And I know what you say sometimes. Look, it's me. You'll never run across that with God. Huh? We should sing this old gospel song, Operator, Give Me Long Distance. You ain't got to worry about it with God. There is no long distance. He knows you, and he's waiting to hear your prayer. One of the things growing up we should love to do, we had a grandpa that we just go talk to him. We just go talk to him. And I don't want you to get the image in your mind of where God is a grandpa. That's what I'm trying to tell you. But what I am telling you, something that grandpa did impacted my life, and now look at God as doing the same thing. Every time we wanted to talk to Grandpa, he would make time. Every time. He loved us being around him. He loved us being there. And what I'm telling you is that you are righteous before God, so that now, rather than God looking at you as being unworthy, God looks at you as being worthy to be called his child. I don't know who put a label on your life. I don't know who declared you unfit, not ready, not prepared. But I can tell you it was not God. Because if you and me have confessed our need for a Savior, God says, anytime you want to talk to me, I'll hear your prayer. Psalm 34 again, verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. This is Almighty God, who's controlling all the universe, commanding all the angels. But every time you go to God and say, Lord, I need to talk, he's... some of y'all don't see. You must have not had the same need that I had. You must not have been in the same place I was, where you cried out, God, I need you every day and every hour. And every second that you came to God, God was right there to hear your prayer. Now, he didn't give you everything you wanted, but he gave you everything that you needed. And he declared you righteous. I'm going to close with this. He declared you righteous so that he could bless you as much as he wanted. And there's not an angel, not anything else in the universe that could deny you of getting that blessing, because God said, you're righteous. Can I put it the country way? You're all right with me. Uh-huh. If you're all right, that means that anything you want, God will make it available. But you must follow him in this path. So I'm going to give the invitation at this point. There might be somebody that doesn't know this righteous God, and that he has made you righteous before him through the gift of his Son. Romans 10:4, again, Christ is the end of the law. The end of the law. For those that trust in him and those that believe on him, you are declared righteous through the blood of the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. I know I'm going to get into heaven. I know the gates are going to swing open because Jesus is the gatekeeper. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we thank you again for blessing us. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us this far by faith. Thank you for giving us righteousness, that it does exceed the righteousness of man, because it came from you, and Lord, it's given by you. We bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.